What's that? What?
I know it's such a surprise.
Well, they did sound good, didn't they? Hey, guys, if you want to take out your outlines, we're going to, well, I think we are going to finish up next week on this You Make Me Crazy series. We've been in all summer. And today we're going to be talking about this and next week, about keeping the crazy makers from making you crazy. And so about healthy and unhealthy relationships. And so we're going to start today, and I'll finish up next week. But I want to summarize today what we've viewed over this past summer about healthy and unhealthy relationships. And then I'm going to take you through with some steps on how to deal with some of the crazy makers in your life, and how to deal with difficult people. Don't y'all want to know how to deal with difficult people? Have y'all got any difficult people in your life? But we're gonna try to keep the crazy makers from making you crazy. But let's review what makes a crazy maker. What is a crazy maker? And then I'm going to give you the six of the most common characteristics that make a crazy maker. So I want you to write them down, what they are. I don't want you to look at that person when I describe them, and I don't want you to punch them in their side. And if you're a member of my family, I don't want you to say, yeah, you're talking about you. But because these are people that we're going to describe, these six common characteristics, people you work with. We're going to be talking about people you live with, people that are in your neighborhood. We're going to be talking about kids on your team. We're going to be talking about parents of kids on your team, you know, and people you go to church with. People you go to church with. All right, so the very first type of crazy maker we want to look at is, number one, a demanding person. Demanding is these are the little dictators of life, the little Napoleons, pushy, controlling. They dominate every conversation, and they turn those conversations just about every time into some sort of power struggle. And they make these unrealistic demands on your life. And they make these demands on your time, your schedule. They just push, 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 and they drive you crazy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Demanding people. The second is disapproving people. These are nitpickers. Anybody got any nitpickers in your life? They just picky, 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 picky. Very highly critical. Your best is never good enough. They always want more. And they kind of tend to be negative. They tend to be judgmental. They're unpleasable. They're perfectionist. They love to point out your mistakes. These disapproving crazy makers. Y'all hear that thunder? I know some of y'all are looking at my socks. I'm not wearing these to rub it in y'all's face. Nothing like that. It was the only thing that matched my shirt. I just want y'all to know we took care of Austin P for y'all. Amen. Now I get back on my sermon. But these disapproving crazy makers, no matter what you do, it's just not good enough. You know, when you're talking to them, there's always, you know, you could look at it this way, or you could have done it this way. It's always, I call them the one-uppers. There's always a different way of doing things with the news that you bring them. Then the third kind of crazy maker is a deafening crazy maker. They're loud. loudmouths, that they're megaphones of life. They're people that love to talk. And they talk in a loud voice. And if you get a megaphone on the phone, you ain't going to get off for a while. They just keep talking and talking. And they almost like talk you into surrender. They don't convince you. You just give up. Because they won't stop talking. But they just, and another thing about a deafening person, they love to argue. A deafening person loves to argue these megaphones. And then the next character is the destructive character. This is uncontrolled anger. I like to call them volcanoes. We all got volcanoes in our lives, don't we? You never know when they're going to erupt, do you? but when they do, they just blow up. And everything just burns up, or everything is destroyed in their path. And if you got a volcano in your life, you just kind of have to walk on eggshells. You don't know what's going to upset him or her. And the family just lives in fear of when the next blow up will be. I got to tell you, the casualties are pretty high with a destructive character. And then number five is discontented. Discontented. Crazy maker. You know how they are. They get their feelings hurt very easily. They're very touchy. A discontented person whines a lot. Where I come from, we call them crybabies. We all know crybabies. They have this daily pity party. They invite themselves and they moan and they mourn and it's just poor, poor, pitiful me. They're chronic complainers. They have this martyr complex. And they get their attention by whining. Why me? And it just grates on you and it makes you crazy, right? Because you ever met somebody that's just never happy? It's a discontented person. And demeaning, number six is demeaning. These people are the smart mouths. Are the smart mouths. Yeah, all my siblings were smart mouths. I wasn't. But smart mouths are the ones who's always running off at the mouth. They're rude, they're insulting, they're caustic. They cuss. You know, just caustic language. But more than just cussing or caustic language, they're bubble bursters. They love to burst your bubble. They like to tear your dream down. They get some kind of peculiar joy in telling you that you don't measure up. They're disrespectful and they're petty. They can be mean, just smart mouth. I got to tell you something about rude people. You know, the reason probably people are rude all the time is they have these enormous insecurities. And the more insecure a person is, the more rude that they tend to be. Now, for this Sunday and next, I want to take you through some scripture of how to deal with difficult people. Six steps. We're going to talk about three of them this week and three next week to wrap up this series. I want to give you a little warning that each step tends to get a little harder than the one before about how to deal with difficult people. Let's jump right in. According to the Bible, number one, we have to refuse to be offended. To deal with difficult people, we got to refuse to be offended. What that means is just don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. No matter what they say, no matter how outrageous this person's behavior is, you know, no matter how they act or how they react, When people are rude, they're just revealing themselves, not you. They're telling you what's in them, not what's in you. It says a lot about who they are. It says a lot about what their problems are. So don't be offended by it. It's not about you. The reality of it all is there is a lot of things that we should be offended by, that it's okay to be offended by. We should be offended by the injustice in the world. We should be offended that people go to bed hungry when we have as much as we do. You know, we should be offended by babies whose lives are taken from them before they're even born. We should be offended by the exploitation of women, of the sex trade. There's a lot of things that you ought to be offended by. But when it comes to personal relationships, God says get over it. Get over it. You know, as much as you can, try not to be offended by other people. You know, if you want to, you could go through life with such a thin skin that everything everybody does would offend you. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, then you're going to be unhappy most of your life. Emotional and spiritual maturity is largely determined by how you treat those who mistreat you. Do you do tit for tat? Do you get even? You hurt them and then hurt back, you know. When we do all that, when we get even, we're no better than they are. We're just even. So one of the keys to happiness in life is to develop a thicker skin. Just don't be offended by so many things. I want us to pray that to God to give us a tender heart and a tough hide. But usually we get a thinner skin and a harder heart. But we're to pray for a thick skin and a tender heart. Well, how do I keep this offense from this personal offense from offending me? Well, I think we got to consider the source and ignore it. And we do that by look at Proverbs 12:16. When a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. Wise people will ignore an insult. If you're wise, you ignore an insult. If you respond to an insult, then you're a fool. Foolish people give out what they get. And when we do, it's not wise. And if it ain't wise, it's dumb. Wise people can ignore an insult. Do you know why wise people can ignore an insult? Because they can look past it to the behavior. They can look behind it, I should say, to that behavior, and they can look past the behavior even to the pain. What caused them to do that? What is hurting them to do that? You know, because it's because they're hurting on the inside that they're hurting people on the outside. We say it all the time here, hurt people hurt people. So don't look at their behavior, look past it. Look past it. So next time somebody insults you, just say, I wonder what makes Jim act that way. What makes him act that way? Because the more you understand somebody's background, the more grace that you're going to show them. You don't cut anybody any slack because you don't know nothing about their background. You don't know their story. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Now that's real love. Refusing to be offended by someone else's action is mature, real love. It shows how much love you got in your heart. The more love you got in your heart, the harder it is to offend you on a personal basis. The less love, the less insecure you feel, the easier it is to offend you. Proverbs 10:12 says, love overlooks the wrongs that others do. Guys, the more I'm filled with love, the less offended I'm going to be with one of these types of crazy makers. But you must choose. You must choose to refuse to be offended. It's your choice. You must choose to refuse to be offended. Don't take it personal. Number two, don't wait for an apology before you forgive them. Don't wait for an apology before you forgive them. Many of us have these crazy makers in our lives that's done something crazy to us. He or she's hurt us. It's somebody we love, you know, and somebody we see on a daily basis. And in our mind, we say things like, I know it's the Christian thing to do is to forgive them. And I will forgive them as soon as they give me an apology. And guess what? And they got to do it the right way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody's apologized to you. Well, that wasn't right. You didn't do it the way I wanted you to apologize to me. Well, the problem with that is you're waiting on somebody else to apologize to you is you're still holding the hurt. You still got it. And the real truth of it is they may never ask you for forgiveness. They may never say, I'm sorry, just simply because they're a crazy maker. They want to make you crazy. And sometimes they just don't get it. They don't even realize what they've done. And you end up steaming over something. You end up holding resentment that they've long ago forgot about. They don't even know. And it's eating you up inside. Guys, we can't hold on to this stuff. Resentment will tear you up. It's not hurting them. It's hurting you. One of my Facebook statuses this morning, I went kind of crazy and done three of them. But resentment is like drinking poison, hoping it's going to kill them. Resentment eats you up. It hurts you. So you got to decide. To me, you got to decide right now, today, that no matter what happens, I'm going to forgive them. You got to decide right now, today, I'm going to forgive them. Guys, because the question is it smart to ignore God's direction? God tells us to do this. God knows you and me better than anybody. He created us. He knows how we're wired. So he knows what we need. And it's just dumb to ignore his direction. Forgive. Let it go. Put it in his hands. Don't hold on to resentment. Because some people don't even know. You're not dealing with people, not all the same. Some people don't even know they're supposed to ask for forgiveness from you. Some people know they don't really know they have to apologize. But Jesus said this in real extreme circumstances. Look at Luke 23. This man, Jesus Christ, is hanging on the cross. He's dying. He's been whipped. He's been through torture like nobody's business. And he says this. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. These extreme circumstances, he's even asking forgiveness for them, hanging on the cross. So not everybody in your life, not every crazy maker in your life realizes what they're doing. Some of them just responding to their own hidden pain. What do you do? Here's what I try to do. And I tell you, I'm not always successful. I'll tell you at the end of the service, I haven't always been successful. I try to remember this, Colossians 3:13. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Someone offends you. You got to remember how much grace that the Lord has given you. So this is a good one to memorize. And to remember how much slack you got cut will be the only ways in some circumstances that you can cut other people some slack. Last one. Like I said, it gets harder. We have to refuse to gossip about them. We got to refuse to gossip about them. This one's tough with crazy makers. I was offended yesterday. And I was foolish. I felt that the person that offended me was stupid. And I called him stupid. You know, it's almost impossible to get in a car after someone's offended you and not get on the cell phone and immediately call somebody and say, "You won't believe what Jim just said. You won't believe what Jim just did to me. But I'm just telling you because I just had to vent." You see, what I found out is when we do this, we just want affirmation from somebody else to tell us that it was right what we did. And this feels so good to do this. But it was the most unloving thing that I'd ever did. It is unloving. The Bible says to love your enemies. It says disregarding another person's faults preserves love. But gossiping about them separates close friends. You know what gossip is? Gossip, sharing information with someone who is not part of the solution or part of the problem. You brought them into it so that you could feel better about yourself. Gossip is nothing but a form of retaliation. It's talking about them behind their back. It is incredibly destructive. Gossip destroys churches. Gossip destroys families. Gossip destroys businesses. And I love what this verse says. It separates the closest of friends. Do you go through close friends, BFFs, whatever you call it, on a consistent basis? See, it's not just about the ones you've talked about, but it's also the ones that you've gossiped to. It destroys the closest of friends. But you know, for me, probably the worst thing about gossip, I'm a pretty highly competitive person. I can't stand to lose. But when you start talking about this crazy maker, guess what? They win. Because all of a sudden, they're controlling your conversation. All of a sudden, this crazy maker is controlling your emotions. Now, all day you could have talked about some good things. All day you could have talked about some great things. But you're talking about them. They win. Don't let them win by choosing gossip. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Do not do wrong to repay a wrong. And do not insult to repay an insult. But repay with a blessing. Because you yourselves were called to do this so that you might receive a blessing." Now you can miss out and choose to gossip. Miss out on God's blessings. I want you to receive God's blessings. I want to receive God's blessing. Now, I didn't pick up a cell phone and call. I'm not much of a phone talker. I like to text. But soon after this happened, that I was offended, I walked in the food line. I ran into somebody over by the Boston Butts. It was for sale for $1.79 a pound. And I knew this man believed like I did. And I began to tell him how I was offended. how I told this fella off. It felt real good at the time. That somebody affirmed it. You're right, Jim. You should have told him off. Tell it like it is. It was absolutely the most unloving thing that I'd ever did in my life. But I asked for forgiveness this morning in the 9 o'clock service. I have that. And I wanted to give you that same opportunity. We're going to pray. And if you need, you can do it right there in your seat. If you want to come down the altar, that'd be fine too. But we're also going to have a baptism. I'm real excited. And, you know, I apologize to y'all. I probably didn't. No, I know I didn't. I didn't make God look so good when I gossiped. My Lord, thank you so much for forgiveness. And I'm sorry again for gossiping. I'm sorry mostly because it made you look bad. And it gave this church a black eye, I guess. But I'll try to do better. But we're going to celebrate today with a baptism. A young lady that wants to share her faith in you. We love you, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.